This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-Hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Thanks so much for being part of the mothership this morning. The D.A. Show rolling through the week, and we've got another good episode today. The Big Ten decided to postpone college football. No fall college football. This is obviously a seismic decision from the Big Ten Network. Howard Griffith is going to join us coming up in hour three. He's an analyst for the Big Ten Network. He was a standout at Illinois. He was also a 2-time Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos during the John Elway years of the 90s. So Howard Griffith is going to drop on by to discuss the decision to say no fall football coming up in hour number three. Also on a Wednesday, it's Mothership at the Movies Day. Just a couple of weeks left in our series. We'll take a hiatus once September comes along. So today, an all-time classic. We are into the teeth of this Major League Baseball season, the 60-game sprint. So what better baseball film to talk about than the one that goes back and romanticizes and has the otherworldly qualities that people love about baseball, the history, the ghosts? Field of Dreams. We'll begin breaking that down in two parts this morning here on the DA Show. Part number one coming up in 40 minutes. Part number two in hour number four. Damian Lillard last night continues his ridiculous streak. Following up his 51-point performance, he goes for 61. We'll talk about that an hour from now as Damian Lillard is putting his stamp on the bubble. And with everything going on around college sports, could we see a bubble for basketball, March Madness? So we got a lot to get to this morning on the show. If any of those topics pique your interest, you want to jump in here, let's do it. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. Again, 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Yesterday, we saw the Big Ten begin the dominoes. The first one to fall, a power conference that says no fall football. The Big Ten pulled the plug on fall sports. Now, we had talked about this many times over the last couple of weeks, what these conferences would do, what was at stake, where the tea leaves were reading. We had seen the Mountain West do this. We had seen the MAC do this. We had seen UConn do this. So we were wondering what this meant for the Power Five. The Ivy Leagues had done this as well. And I had thought all along that all of these power conferences would postpone the decisions until later in the fall. I had thought that all of these power conferences, with all of the money on the line, would say, we can't make a decision right now because we can't feel comfortable playing. Because obviously, if they felt comfortable playing, they would just say full steam ahead. That none of them really felt comfortable playing, so that they would just postpone the decision until September 1. And then reconvene for September 15th. Then reconvene on October 1. In other words, just keep pushing every couple of weeks out during the fall to see, can we restart now? Can we restart now? But the Big Ten jumped ahead of this, and maybe they were worried that it felt like it was dragging on and on and on, and that they couldn't, in good conscience, just keep dragging perhaps the coaching staffs and the players along. But they make the decision yesterday, and then the Pac-12 follows suit. So we have three holdouts right now. The Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC. And it feels like the SEC is steeled most for having the appetite of the stomach for trying, no matter what, to get this fall season in. Now, all along, I've said this. If you're college football's decision makers, I've always felt, be as creative and innovative with this solution as possible. And that means if you're worried about, let's just say, total plays or games played by players in one calendar year, if you try to push to the spring, and that's why you're worried about getting football in. Well, find that number and try to work around that number. What's the number of games played by a student athlete that is healthy or comfortable for people? If it's a total snap count, find out what that number is. If it's time in between the seasons, spring and fall, find out what the duration is of recovery and work around that. That the spring doesn't need to be some boogeyman, some monster hiding in the closet, that it can't be done because then our student athletes' bodies will fall apart. Well, you find out what's healthy, and then you spread it between two seasons, a limited spring and a limited fall. There's no reason to cancel right now anything because you don't have to cancel anything. I've always felt like you should start there to be innovative and creative. And what the first step to me with that would be to keep pushing the date of a potential start. If it's not September 1, then it's October 1. If it's not October 1, it can be November 1. If it's not November 1, maybe it could be during winter break after Thanksgiving when kids are home from school and campuses are dark. And perhaps that's when you try to create a healthy environment, a safe environment for your players to be playing. You know, to me, that there's a lot of ways to try to skin a cat here. And here is what this means. The big picture is for the Big Ten, they had their 14-member institutions that, by and large, maybe there was a couple of holdouts, namely Nebraska and Iowa, that seemed, in my estimation, to be too worried about the liability of playing. I don't think this was about the formatics of how do you pull this off. I don't think this was about the logistics of how do you play a football season. I think it was probably not even about, do we have to worry about outbreaks of COVID on our teams? I think it was actually just about liabilities here. And that ultimately is the breaking point. For the Big Ten and for the Pac-12, they've made their decision. And I think for the other three conferences, they're trying to kind of figure it out, which way the wind blows, which way the reaction is. And I think that for the other three conferences, it now makes it easier to shut down because they have two power conferences that have. But I don't think the SEC specifically, because of how intense the football is there and how vital the football is there, I don't think the SEC, and maybe also where they're geographically located, I don't think the SEC right now is going to make a decision. I think the way that they're looking at this is we keep pushing ahead until we have to make a decision. And we don't have to make a decision right now, so let's keep the option open of playing this fall. And how interesting would it be if the SEC is the one conference that plays this fall, considering their slogan is, it just means more. Well, hell yeah, if you're the only teams and the only programs and the only conference playing, I guess it did mean more. But the breaking point for the Big Ten, like I said, I think is liability. And I think there's one specific thing that scared the Big Ten more than anything and then led to the Pac-12 following suit. What was that? It is where we begin your cold open.
As things began to evolve, you look at the number of cases that are spiking, the number of deaths, not only in our country, in our states where many of our schools are located, but worldwide, is that a promise that all the decisions that we will make during my tenure here at the Big Ten will always put the mental and physical health and safety and wellness of our student athletes at the center. We just believe collectively there's too much uncertainty at this point in time in our country, and to encourage our student athletes to participate in fall sports and understand they're not professionals. These are amateur athletes and they deserve an opportunity to be able to participate in a healthy and safe manner.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren. One of his quotes was, trends have not improved. They've become worse. You add that up and you're getting ready to go into formal practice. It's just a level of not only concerns, but unknown risks at large. When you're dealing with the health of human beings, it's serious. I don't think that the conferences were terrified of players having an outbreak, having a quarantine, not being able to travel correctly. I don't think they're worried about players coming down with COVID and being put on ventilators or having really severe immediate health issues. I think, quote, the unknown is what Kevin Warren said, the unknown. I think it comes back to this myocarditis. And I think as they spoke to doctors and they spoke to health experts that had said there's information linking COVID-19, getting COVID-19 and then myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart muscle, they got terrified. I think that was the breaking point. I think if this was 2 months ago, before doctors had started to make that connection, I think there was a bigger appetite to go forward and try to find out a way to play this. But I think here's what schools were terrified of, namely the Big Ten and then the Pac-12, is that you would have student athletes that are obviously not being paid contract COVID-19, and that somewhere down the road, whether it's a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, these are active athletes. These are active people. Maybe they play professionally, maybe they don't, but that you would have athletic people who perhaps had come down with COVID-19 while playing football for you, be one of a small group of people that develops an enlarged heart muscle because of COVID-19, and that the science down the road would connect the two, and that that athlete or those athletes would have significant issues, a coronary attack, a heart attack, something really devastating, and that they could not have that liability on their hands. That the quote unknown Perhaps COVID-19 leads to down the road really serious health issues. And when they saw, in this case right now, doctors saying, right now we're worried that this disease, this virus, is directly connected to a potential coronary failure down the road, I think they said we can't do it. We financially cannot take that risk. And I don't mean to sound crass or unemotional from their standpoint. I'm not saying they don't care if kids get really sick. They only care about the liability of it, the financial liability. But that's why I think that with all of the money on the line right now, I mean, the Big Ten Network pays out tens of millions of dollars every year to every member institution, that they would punt on that right now. Why? I think they did it because the red flag of the myocarditis was too terrifying of what it could be as almost an exploding booby trap down the road. And what I think that they're probably crossing their fingers for is that as science continues to draw research and information about COVID-19 and what the after effects are, that perhaps a couple of months from now, we know better that, okay, it's not a direct link. Okay, we have more information on this. Okay, we don't have to be scared that this is in so many people, X number of people. And they're just hoping that treatments are better, science is better, a vaccine is available, something like that. Because to me, to punt on all of the money that is coming to the Big Ten institutions to play football this year, that they know how important that is to all of their member institutions, it had to be a financial hurdle that they simply could not get over. And I think they probably figured they could play safely enough, but that the liability of what lied down the road was what scared them into postponing the fall football campaign into maybe the spring, maybe no football. Hit me up, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we've got your best audio of the day. While the Big Ten says no fall football, along with the Pac-12, the SEC, as I mentioned, said we're still on schedule. We'll hear the coach of the defending national champions talk about what his schedule looks like. And we've also got LeBron discussing what it's going to take to win in the postseason, considering the NBA playoffs are just around the corner. They start next week, and it looks like the 1-8 matchup, whoever the Lakers play, is going to be a real interesting one. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, we start with Ed Ogeron, head coach of the national champion LSU Tigers. The Big Ten and Pac-12 are saying we're not playing in the fall, but how about the SEC? They've still got plans to do so. Here's Ed Ogeron, courtesy of Fox News.
I do know this. And the SEC is competing for our players to play. I do believe that we have the best protocol for our players. Our players feel safe on campus. We only have a few players that are sick right now. They get the best care. Our players want to play. I do believe the SEC wants to play. I have to give it to our commissioner for waiting to get the most information and to make the correct decision for our football team. And I do believe he will make that. There's no plan B here at LSU, man. We're going forward ahead.
There's no plan B. Well, look, I love Coach O. I do think, though, in the middle of a global pandemic, with everything changing every single day in your industry, you should probably have a plan B. I love Coach O, but I think we all need plan Bs like every single day. Will the kids go back to school? Will I be going back to work? What's this going to look like? What's that going to look like? What's my summer going to look like? Will I get to go on summer vacation? Can I go to this state? Do I need to quarantine for 14 days? Like, everybody needs a plan B every single day.
There's no like, plan B here at LSU, man.
We don't need plan B. We got a schedule. We got a football. We got helmets. That's the only thing that matters. We got a quarterback. He's going to throw the football, and that's all that matters. No plan B.
There's no plan B here at LSU, man.
And he laughs. I don't know if there's going to be another team out there playing with us. If there's not, doesn't matter. We'll just play our own team. It'll be purple versus white scrimmage. We don't need no plan B, C, D, E, or nothing else. Plan A is play football. We'll play football. That's about it. Nobody on campus. Nobody actually put the footballs out on the field. No yard markers. No nothing. Stadium won't even be open. We'll play in the lab. We'll play out in the quad. We'll just play football wherever we are. No plan B. Here is LeBron James as the Lakers have the one seed in the West, but aren't quite in playoff mode yet.
I don't think we're at 10, and we shouldn't be at 10, because it's a different type of preparation that goes into a playoff game. You spend hours and hours on teams because you know you're going to be locked in with them at least for four games. Me personally, as far as mentally, I'm not in playoff mode. Physically, I'm getting there. I feel like my legs are gotten better and better. My game has improved more and more. I'm getting more and more comfortable with the bubble. But as far as the mental side of it, I'm not there personally. I don't think our team is there personally, but we will be.
What a challenge this is for LeBron James, because they have expectations on them as the one seed. They had played so remarkably well before the shutdown happened. And now they've got to try to restart, go from standing to jogging to sprinting within the matter of a couple of weeks. And their first round opponent is going to be brutal. I mean, this is not your normal 1-8 taking on some garbage sub 500 team that feels like they've got no chance to win. I mean, the Lakers could end up playing the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Blazers are not an 8 seed. The Blazers have one of the best players in basketball, Damian Lillard, playing at a remarkably high level, which we'll delve into more a half hour from now. They've also got Carmelo Anthony, who's playing really well as well, CJ McCollum, and a veteran group of guys that came into the season as contenders. This would be a really difficult challenge for LeBron to get through that as the first round coming off of a pandemic, when you've had 3 months, 3.5 months of a shutdown, and then only a couple of weeks to kind of get back your legs. I mean, and then do it on a neutral site so you don't even have the comfort of playing at Staples Center and playing and staying in your own bed and the home crowd that could help spur you on. I mean, it's a pretty big challenge for the Lakers, despite being the one seed, of what they need to do just to get out of the first round this year. And then, of course, coming with the expectations of you have LeBron and Anthony Davis, and you're both playing at incredibly high levels. You have to win this series. And finally, Major League Baseball has yet another moment of consternation surrounding leaving the bubbles or leaving the stadiums and leaving the teams and then coming back in and having mixed with the common folk like us. Because in Cleveland, you have a pair of players that ended up leaving COVID protocols and leaving a hotel in Chicago, the Cleveland Indians, Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac. And now they're being disciplined by the Cleveland Indians. Here is one of the Indians, Adam Plutko, about this.
It hurt us bad. They lied to us. They sat here in front of you guys and publicly said things that they didn't follow through on. And it's going to be up to them. I'll let them sit here and tell you how they're going to earn their trust back. I don't need to put words in their mouths. You know, the term that I continue to hear, and excuse my language, is grown-ass man, right? So those grown-ass men can sit here and tell you guys what happened and tell you guys what they're going to do to fix it, and I don't need to do that for them.
Ooh. Now, Plutko is going to start in Clevenger's place, or did start in Clevenger's place, and both Plesac and Clevenger have been kept away from the team and quarantined, and they are going to be handled by the Indians. So another instance where, despite the Marlins and the Cardinals proving what a disaster it could be, a couple of the Indians didn't act like grown-ass men, as you just heard him talk about. And that's really disappointing, because the evidence is here of what happens if you get irresponsible. And what I like is it's pretty obvious that his teammates are not going to stand for this and make excuses. They're doing their part. They expect everybody to do theirs. That's your sound check. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. It's an Ask the Pros Day, where you get to throw in a question. We'll answer it later on to the show. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Andrew Bogish has our headline this morning on the DA show. AB, good morning. What else can you add to this Indian situation? What's the details here? They were in Chicago and those two guys left the hotel and they were spotted out on the town?
Yeah, so the first story was Zach Plesac pitched well Saturday afternoon, so well that he wanted to go out and have a celebratory dinner with his buddies, so he snuck out of the hotel and went to dinner with his friends. I don't know still how anybody found out, but then they found out and they punished him and sent him home from Chicago on Sunday into quarantine, and apparently then Mike Clevenger sat in a meeting as they discussed what they should do with Plesac, defended him, and never alerted anybody to the fact that he was there too. So I'm not sure how even that differentiation happened either, but then someone said, Mike was there as well, and then Mike got in trouble, Mike got sent home, and Francisco Lindor said something similar to what Plutko did, so I'm happy, proud of those guys that they actually are calling BS on this and being like, and don't forget, this team has Carlos Carrasco on it, who just fought off cancer last year, who has to be on probably a multiple fronts in that high-risk category for the worst COVID after effects and current effects. And these guys are going out and breaking protocol and bringing this back in around him specifically, not to mention the whole rest of the organization. So, it was just a terrible decision. And then Clevenger doubles down on lying with it. And I'm surprised that the punishment is not more than just missing a start and having to sit in your house for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, I wonder how soon they'll allow these guys to return to the team, because you're right, it is a big deal in baseball now. They have a Cardinals team that hasn't played in 2 weeks because of this. So I wonder, in terms of baseball ramifications as well from Major League Baseball's league office. Also, I guess I didn't realize this. So baseball players are not supposed to eat out at all. I mean, tons of people are eating at restaurants every single day, but baseball players are not supposed to do that.
So this is another problem that baseball had. And this started, we came to the forefront during the Brewers and the Cardinals and the Marlins, was it began with a strong recommendation that you should not leave the team hotel. I still don't think, when you're on the road, I still don't know that it's 100% locked in, but you're not supposed to do what they do. You're not supposed to go out, not supposed to see other people, not supposed to have dinner in places. You're supposed to be in the hotel. The team is supposed to provide space in the hotel and meals inside the hotel so that you never actually have to leave. I don't know that they've theoretically locked the doors that you can't get out, but you're not supposed to go out, and these guys went out.
So the big deal is that they were on the road and left the hotel. No matter what they did, that was going to break protocol, because when they're in their home cities, I wonder if they're allowed to go out and have a meal somewhere.
I mean, the expectation is you're supposed to do nothing. What's a specific rule and is specifically forbidden? I can't tell you that off the top of my head, but the assumption is you're going to the ballpark and you're going home, and everybody around you at home is being as safe as possible as well, so that you don't get sick and bring anything into the clubhouse too. Mm.
Yeah, bad look for Clevenger and Plesac with the Cleveland Indians. So AB, how did the rest of our headline this morning? What do we got?
They are all sponsored by Progressive. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. It is a void. I'm not sure how we'll fill, D.A. No UMass football this fall. Hopefully, going in the spring. The Minutemen, as you know, are an independent, much like Notre Dame and much like UConn. It was going to be real tough to find enough games this season. The Huskies, it feels like long ago now, called off their season, and now UMass makes the same decision. On a lesser note, no Big Ten or Pac-12 football this fall, and that West Coast crew going even a little farther, saying there'll be no sports at all for the rest of 2020. So that impacts the beginning of the basketball season. They will revisit this decision right around New Year's. The SEC, ACC, and Big 12 either officially or reportedly still plan on playing this fall. The Big 12 said to be finalizing a revised schedule that we will soon see. Wilt Chamberlain and now Damian Lillard, the only players in NBA history with three 60-point games in a season. Lillard dropped 61 on the Mavs yesterday, Portland winning 134-131 to take over control of the 8th seed in the West. Memphis, Phoenix, and San Antonio now all a half game behind them. The Suns 7-0 in the bubble after down in the Sixers yesterday, 131-117, 35 more points for Devin Booker. The Bucks beat the Wizards 126-113 long after Giannis was ejected in the second quarter for headbutting Mo Wagner. He drew a charge from Giannis. Milwaukee challenged the call. On their way to their benches, these two started chirping. As they got face-to-face, Giannis put his forehead into Wagner's left cheek. He says he let his game-long frustration get the best of him. To baseball, and Rockies all-star outfielder Charlie Blackmon still hitting.
Ginkle's next pitch. Charlie drives it to deep right center field. And it is gone. No, right off the top of the screening. Story will come home and score, however. And it is 4-2.
Yeah, just a double for Blackmon, called by Jeff Corrigan on Rockies radio, but it was good to extend his hit streak to 15. He had three hits last night. He's now batting 500 for the season. Woo. 34 for 68, and his Rockies won 8-7 over Arizona. The Padres, a 6-2 win at Dodger Stadium. The Brewers got by the Twins 6-4, and the Reds topped the Royals 6-5-10 on a Joey Votto RBI double. The Angels blanked the A's 6-0. The Giants, a 7-6 win in 10 in Houston, and the Cubs were 7-1 winners in Cleveland. On top of Clevinger and Plesac, Cleveland hasn't had Terry Francona for more than a week, but he was back last night after taking 8 days off to diagnose and treat a GI issue, which has fully not been taken care of yet. So Francona, back last night, made no promises that he'll be there now for the rest of the season. The majority of Cowboy players, coaches, and staff expected to create their own mini bubble at the five-star Omni Hotel next to their training facility. It's one last bit of protection before full practices begin on Friday. It's the fourth longest game in NHL history. The Lightning left standing 3-2 over the Blue Jackets after four full overtimes and 9.5 more minutes. Braden Point finally scored the winner. The game was so long that the Flames beat the Stars 3-2, all within Tampa Bay Columbus, even though that game started 2.5 hours later.
Oh my goodness.
It was also so long that the Bruins and Hurricanes couldn't play afterwards, so they will start at 11 Eastern this morning instead. And the Portland Timbers are MLS's back champs, 2-1 winners over Orlando City. DA, back to you.
How amazing is it that now inside the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can play a game so long that it bumps other teams that want to play their playoff games to the next morning?
Yep.
That's the brilliance of the Stanley Cup playoffs bubble. And more on that coming up as part of Canadian Bacon. But when we return, Mothership at the Movies tackles part one of Field of Dreams. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Roll tape.
Because there's no flying in baseball. There's no flying in baseball. No flying.
So what I do is I start tackling the quarterback unless he get the ball to somebody else, in which case I try to tackle that person.
Say hey. Willie Mays Hayes here. Play like Mays. I run like Hayes. How you doing?
The greatest sports movies with the greatest sports minds. Kinda.
Either we heal now as a team, or we will die
as individuals.
Get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn ready with a DA show.
If you build it, he will come.
Okay, you must have heard that.
Sorry. Hey, come on into dinner.
Our toll-free line is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit? Car, motorcycle, RV policies, that's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Today's Mothership at the Movies film, the 1989 classic Field of Dreams, starring Kevin Costner, who plays Ray Kinsella, who hears voices out in his Iowa cornfield and decides that his vision is to build a baseball stadium, a baseball park, a baseball field. To that field, he draws Shoeless Joe Jackson, his dad's hero, and the rest of the 1919 Black Sox, as well as other players apparently that cannot play baseball anymore, perhaps relegated to the hell of purgatory, not playing baseball for the rest of eternity. So he provides this bastion for them, but his farm is going to be foreclosed upon because he doesn't have the money to keep paying his mortgage. So Andrew Bogus joins me for the analysis of Field of Dreams. And let's start here, Bogues. We have Ray Kinsella, who is all about his dad. And his dad was a baseball player back in the day, had a short career, but talked about his love of baseball. And he mentions in the opening credits that his dad was a huge White Sox fan, which is why he loved Shoeless Joe Jackson and the 1919 Black Sox, and was heartbroken when they threw the World Series. Then moved to New York and became a Yankees fan, which is why Ray became a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, so that him and his dad had something to fight over. I mean, sounds like his dad is a fraud fan here if he was a Chicago White Sox fan, diehard, and then suddenly adopted the Yankees. What is that?
I mean, I don't want any more Yankee fans in this world, DA. You know that. You share that same sentiment. But if there is ever a time where maybe you need to change allegiances, and the list is very, very short. In fact, there might not be a list at all. But if there is a list, I mean, this might be on it. If your team throws the World Series, that might be the reason why you throw your hands up and go, listen, guys, if I can't trust that you're at least trying to win, and I can't stick around. So I would normally crush him for changing teams, especially ending up on the Yankees. But maybe this is the time where you're allowed to make one change when your guys are criminals.
Ray Kinsella, played by Kevin Costner, is a guy who's 37 years old, and he's kind of lost his direction or purpose in life. He doesn't have that spark and joy anymore, and he's wondering, why am I here on this earth? And then he has this vision, hears the voices, and maybe building the baseball diamond is exactly what his purpose is. But he can't get this out of his head. And once he builds this field, he becomes the most annoying husband and dad of all time. Ray Kinsella, and he's trying to sleep. His wife is trying to sleep. And all he keeps doing is talking about Shoeless Joe Jackson's batting stance. I'm like, can you let Annie sleep when she's up and awake? You can talk about the batting stance here, Ray. They're also having a picnic in the lawn. He's still talking about Shoeless Joe Jackson, blah, blah, blah. And then his four-year-old daughter, Annie, they're just kind of hanging out, and he's lecturing her about 1919 World Series stats and how Shoeless Joe couldn't have thrown it because he batted 376 and hit the only home run of the series. Hey, look, Ray, I know you're driven, but can you leave the people that you love alone? I mean, I'm a baseball fan, and I would have been driven insane by all this Shoeless Joe Jackson stuff.
Yeah, but the talk might be the least offensive thing going on. I mean, he's ruining their lives here, DA, by giving in to these voices, knocking down their corn, making a baseball field so that maybe something happens. I'd rather him chew my ear off about Shoeless Joe than build a field for Shoeless Joe's ghost.
It's also a really tough predicament here for Ray, because if he was just a better farmer, he wouldn't be nearing bankruptcy and would have a little bit of financial leniency to build his field. But he must be the worst farmer ever, because the moment that they mow down that corn, That's it. Bankruptcy. They can't pay the mortgage anymore. Now, I don't know. Do we know what Annie does for a living? I mean, maybe Annie needs to pull up the bootstraps and work another double shift or something like that. But the problem is that this household is not doing its fair share to pay the mortgage, because the moment they mow over that corn, they are toast.
Yeah, and I mean, I've never been in a foreclosure bankruptcy situation, but this also seemed to be way too fast and really no sympathy from Annie's brother. I mean, all of a sudden, first of all, the field is made in record time.
Unbelievable.
I mean, and he did it by himself, and it came out perfectly. It's not cheap, so they spent a lot. As we know, they spent a lot of their save, all of their savings, which had to be a lot of money to build this field. But then this brother-in-law comes swooping in, like, it seems 36 hours later. It's like, dude, you've got $0. Like, give them to the next harvest to see what they can do. But, like, vultures, they're just there with eviction notices and bankruptcy and guys in suits and you can't pay and get the hell off my land.
It brings
selling the note on the house.
I know, it brings up so many amazing points. Number one, Ray by himself builds an unbelievable baseball diamond, complete with track lighting. Now, I don't know how he figured out the electrical nuances of actually lighting the whole damn place as well. That is incredible. But usually, you got to miss a couple of payments on the mortgage before the bank steps in and says, hey, we got to foreclose here, where they sell the note on it. As you said, how did in 36 hours they realize these people were broke here? I mean, they didn't even get 30 days till the next payment to get their next, you know, mortgage payment up. I'm wondering, did Ray and Annie miss payments before this? Were they such crummy farmers that this was the last straw? They had missed two or three payments, and then they built the diamond, because it is a crazy turnabout. And as you allude to, it ends up being Annie's brother. Annie's, what terrible family dynamics. Not only is Annie's brother swooping in like a vulture to steal the farm, but also bringing in other, I don't know, financial advisors or bank people to also kind of come in and lay the hammer. And her mom seemed like a very annoyed mom when they see the ghosts, and the mom can't see the ghost, saying this is very rude. I feel like Annie's family, and Annie is an unbelievable wife. I mean, we can all agree, we all wish we had wives that were as supportive as Annie. She is just a doll. But her family dynamics are so dysfunctional.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't your brother be floating you a couple of mortgage payments as opposed to trying to steal your house with, oh, I'll let you stay here. Thanks, Mark. You're a real pal. How about you just let me stay here because you gave me like $3,000 to cover the next couple of mortgage. I mean, it is Iowa in the 80s. This is not, it's not a mansion. I'm assuming businessman Mark can float his sister and her husband and his niece, instead of throwing her off the bleachers, a couple of checks here to just get him through the next harvest.
It's a great point. Why can't Mark pay one mortgage payment? I mean, just one monthly payment. Let them have 30 days to get their heads above water after they just built this baseball ballpark and they're seeing ghosts. Can you just give them 30 days here? Why do you have to come in and boot your sister off of her farmhouse? And again, as you said, it's Iowa, middle of nowhere, 1988 or 1989. That payment can't be that much for what appears to be the biggest financial shark in the state of Iowa in the late 80s.
Maybe that's why he's the shark, because normally there are no issues. This is the one time he had a chance to be a shark and have somebody in. Because I would think in Iowa in the 80s, you just had a house. Like, it didn't even cost anything. They just, like, made it for you. They gave it to you. You don't have a mortgage. Don't worry about it. You'll pay me when you pay me. We'll put it on your tab. No problem. Yet here he is being a jerk.
As he's also building this, this must be the most boring town in America, because all he's doing is plowing over a couple of lines of corn. And there's about 8 cars parked outside watching this. I mean, is there really nothing else to do than just watch a guy plow over his corn stalks? There's literally nothing else to do than watch that?
It's like poor Iowa.
It's like the drive-in movie theater. Oh, double feature. One of our farmers is plowing over his corn. We've got to go see this. Bring the kids. Bring the lawn chairs. We've got to watch the corn getting plowed over. Can you believe this?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.